morning in two places. First of all, one verse from Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment. And then we turn to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 4. Exodus 20, verse 12, and then Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 4. And again, don't be ashamed to look up the index if you're not too sure where Exodus or Ephesians are. Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament after Genesis, and Ephesians comes towards the end of the New Testament, after the Gospels and Acts, and after Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Galatians. Then we come to Ephesians. It's quite astonishing how, without ever trying to pick a timely word, one comes. The fifth commandment comes to us on Father's Day and reads, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And we see how the Apostle Paul takes up that teaching and applies it to Christians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Amen, and may God bless to us these readings from His Word. It's amazing how Christmassy you can feel in the middle of June, isn't it? So the fifth commandment, honour your father and mother. When we first started looking at the Ten Commandments, we took a little while to pause and take stock of the fact that these commandments point us in two directions. The first four commandments, often thought of as having been written on one of the tablets of stone that Moses brought down the mountain, the first four commandments point us primarily in the direction of God. They relate to our worship of Him, our service of Him, how we speak about Him. They give us, if you like, a vertical orientation to our living. The rest, 5 to 10, point more directly to how we get on, as it were, on the horizontal level with people around us. And we need both those. We need both our relationship with God strengthening and guiding, and we need our relationships with one another within the church, within the home, within the world in which we live, strengthened, guided, instructed and informed, and yes, even commanded. For these guidelines have come to Israel and down through God's word to you and to me, not only with the grace of God that guides and instructs, but also with the sovereignty of God that has the right to command how we should live, and always commands with perfect wisdom. And so this week we turn to the horizontal, as it were, to our relationships with one another, to how we who are God's people should get on with one another within the relationship that God has established with Himself and with one another. The only good life that the Bible knows is not a life that is just religious, that just has to do with church on a Sunday morning, with services of worship. God teaches no division between the spiritual and the secular, between the religious and the non-religious. As far as God is concerned, all of the lives of his people come under his lordship. Every part of our lives and every one of our lives come under his lordship. But also all of life comes under his blessing. And so this week we come to the first set of relationships that is spoken of in the commandments, earthly relationships. Children of any age are commanded to honor their father and their mother. I just want to make three general comments before we look at what it means to honor our parents, first of all. In the first place, this commandment was given not to the infant Moses, but to the adult Moses. For him to take down the mountainside, not to the Israelite kindergarten, set up somewhere in the desert at the foot of Mount Sinai, but to the adult Israelites. The fifth commandment was given to grown men and women, for them to do as well as to teach. And so we cannot sit here this morning and just think, isn't this a nice thing for the children? Most of them are through in the other room anyway. This commandment was given to adults, and it is this morning as adults, most of us, that we must sit and listen to it and take it to heart. See, it would be very easy for us to dodge some of the force of this fifth commandment by thinking that it applied to somebody else, i.e. to children. But there are no cop-outs in the Christian faith. God will hold us all accountable. And we also have to think to ourselves, well, if we do want our children to follow this command, as well as following it ourselves, what example are we going to set them? I hear a great deal about what's wrong with today's society, and a great deal about what's wrong with young people and what's wrong with children. Now, there's a great deal of good that can be said about young people and children, and a great deal also of ill. But all that comes from parents, and those who are perhaps grandparents, those who are far removed from particular children that they've seen doing particular wrong things. But that's a bit of a cop-out. Children learn from adults. Whether we think we are teaching them or not, they learn from us. And if adults are quick to point out half the ills in society as being the fault of young people today, then the blame for much of that must rest with the adults. What have we shown children about respect, about consideration? What have we shown young people about selflessness rather than selfishness? What does our society teach children about materialism, about what's truly important in life? What do we and our society teach children about their relationship with God, about his love for them, about his claims upon their lives? That's the first thing. This commandment is given to grown men and women for them to do and to teach. The second is that we are commanded to honor both father and mother. Now, we all know that we get on perhaps with one parent often better than we get on with another, for a whole host of reasons. Our fathers and our mothers are different people, and we relate to them differently, and we look to them for different things. You go to mum when you need a sticking plaster on your knee, you go to dad when you need some cash. It's that kind of difference. And yet the Word of God commands both fathers and mothers to be honored. The third thing is that this commandment, honor your father and mother, is without doubt a sweeping and simple generalization. And it's applied to one of the most complex areas of relationships that there is. But what's wrong with that? The most complex of engines in a car is quite simply bolted onto the car's subframe. The complexities of human relationships between children and parents require, in a similar way, general, simple principles for their foundations. The foundations of the most intricate buildings are remarkably simple in comparison with the complexity of what's built on top. And in a sense, that's especially the case with the relationship between children and parents. Children need to know the limits. They need to know the rules. They need the structures and the stability that come from things being simple between them and their parents. Children need certain givens in their lives, and so do parents. And society needs families that are founded upon simple, clear guidelines that everyone can grasp. Honor your father and your mother. So God is blessing his people with this fifth commandment. He's blessing the individuals in their own homes. He's blessing the society, the community that will inhabit this land that he's leading them to. He's doing this for their good. God doesn't want these people to become a nation of self-willed, obnoxious, disobedient children who grow up into equally self-willed and obnoxious parents and adults. Would that be a worshipful kind of society? Would that be a witness to the nations round about if family life, if society was degenerate? And would that bode well for the future? The people entered a land flowing with milk and honey and ruined it? And ruined their lives together so that they couldn't enjoy the blessings that God had given them? Note how Paul draws out the fact that this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life in the land. See, God just doesn't just have a blessing for his people. He wants his people to be the kind who can enjoy that blessing for a long time. He wants the two to go together. And he knows that few things could ruin the blessings of that land more than a society that was breaking down in its most fundamental unit, the family. These people needed God's guidance for their homes, and so do we. Don't these present times cry out for precisely a word like this from the Word of God? Honor your father and mother. A word to adults and to children, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So what does it mean to honor our parents? Well, in the first case, of course, it does mean to obey, and that's the way in which Paul takes up the fifth commandment and applies it to children within the church in Ephesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It does mean obedience, but in the right sense and not in the wrong sense. It doesn't mean that we have to have children who are servile, cringing, fearful, timorous wee things, who are scared stiff of their mums and dads. God doesn't want that kind of parent. The fifth commandment, honour your father and mother, Paul's application of it in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, is not God giving carte blanche to overbearing, domineering, arrogant fathers or mothers. As Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Brilliant word to choose, because Paul maybe remembered his own childhood and how sometimes children can just be driven daft by their parents, exasperated, not knowing what to do or how to please them. Not the wrong sense of the word obey, but the right sense, the obedience that belongs to love. When we love somebody who has some measure of God-given authority over us, then that love shows itself in our obedience to them. As Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, obey my commandments. And of course, if we love those who are dependent upon us, who look to us for everything, then that love shows itself not so much in obedience, but in guidance and provision. There is an obedience that is proper to love, and it's that that is called for from children. But also obey in the Lord. Children obeying their parents, seeing, as it were, just round the side of their parents, the Lord standing there himself, saying, go on, I know you want to do what's wrong, but do what's right. Obey your mum, your dad. Do what they want. The Lord himself peering out from behind mum or dad and saying, well done, you did the right thing there. Obey your parents in the Lord. And obey them as far as they command what God himself would command. Again, Paul, by quoting this passage, and God himself by giving the command in Exodus, was not giving carte blanche to the kind of parents who tell their children to do what is wrong. We cannot tell our children to lie. We cannot tell our children to put themselves first, before others or before God's claims upon their lives. We cannot tell our children to be dishonest. We cannot persuade our children to cheat. We cannot tell them that it is right to hit back in a situation where Jesus' command to turn the other cheek would be the right thing to do. But there's another thing about this commanding what God himself would command which perhaps has more pertinence to us, and it's this. When God asks children to obey parents, he isn't giving parents the right, as they become older, to become manipulative, crabbed, guilt-making, possessive parents who want to dominate their 40 and 50-year-old children's lives. There are many people in their 40s, in their 50s, early 60s, whose lives are racked with guilt and dominated by an aging mother or an aging father who has got their claws sunk into their children and will not let go. And the pain and the difficulty and the stress that that can create for children, grown-up children, and the difficulties that that presents their grown-up children when they themselves have died are enormous. As we grow older, and I speak with the respect that belongs to a younger man, even though he be a minister, as we grow older, our lives are meant to become more gracious. They are meant to be more and more sweetened by the grace of the Lord himself. We are not meant to want to control everyone and everything around us. It means to obey, but more than that, of course, it means, in a sense, to revere, to respect and to be considerate. Respect your parents, your father and your mother, in speech as well as in deeds. How do we speak about our fathers and our mothers, whether they're still alive or not? How do we speak about our parents-in-law, perhaps even more pertinently? Do we show them the kind of respect and consideration that we ought, that is right and proper for a Christian to show? How do we witness to our parents if they aren't Christians? We shouldn't try and shove the gospel down their throat. We shouldn't speak to them as if they were idiots, as if they have seen nothing in life. There is a right and a proper way for a Christian child, however old, to witness to a non-Christian parent, to respect them in speech and in deeds, to care for them. Yes, sometimes the best way that an aging relative, mother or father, can be cared for is in full-time care. But I go into some of these homes that our members are in, and sometimes into hospital, into long-stay geriatric wards, and there are mothers and fathers lying there who perhaps get a visit once or twice a year from their children. Some of them never. That's not right, and we know it isn't. And there are certainly many in our congregation that I know of who have cared for an aging relative, for a mother or a father, at immense personal cost to themselves, who visit regularly and faithfully and cheerfully, and who certainly obey this command. But respecting them in our deeds also means washing up, doesn't it? It means being a help around the home. It means being considerate. It means taking folk out and helping with shopping and messages. It means being an ambassador for Christ within our families, as well as in the world outside. And it also means, in a third way, gratefulness. If there is one thing which sours relationships between children and parents as both grow older, it is bitterness. Children becoming bitter at their parents. Parents becoming bitter about their children and all that they have, and they're never there, and all that sort of thing. Honouring our fathers and our mothers means being grateful. For those of us who become father and mothers, we begin to realise just how much we have to be grateful for. How much money and time and effort and inconvenience and trouble has been thrown at us, spent upon us, lavished upon us as we have grown up. You don't need to look after babies for very long before you start to look upon your own parents in an entirely new light. Gratitude. Gratitude that sweetens bitterness, that lends cheerfulness to service and kindness. Gratitude that helps oil the wheels of any relationship, but especially the one where we are most tempted to take each other for granted, the relationship between children and parents. What does it all require then? If you and I are going to obey, to respect, to show our gratitude for our parents and towards them, what does it require? It requires humility, doesn't it? It requires that we count the other person, our fathers and our mothers, as being of great value. The essence of humility is not to do yourself down. The essence of humility is to value the other person more highly than you value yourself, to elevate them, as it were. Otherwise, humility just becomes a sort of intern, self-denigrating kind of thing, that ends up being quite ugly. It requires humility. It requires submissiveness to put the other person first. And so it goes against the grain of our pride. It requires that we repent, whatever age we are, of our arrogance, our contempt, and our casualness with our parents. And for all that, we have an example. We sang a few moments ago about Jesus caring and watching and loving the lowly maiden, and we sang, Christian children all must be kind and gentle, mild and obedient, good as he. We sang about him being our childhood pattern. But when we look at Jesus and see his relationship with his Heavenly Father, then we see in a far deeper and greater way the pattern for you and me and our relationship with our parents. For Jesus said, it is my meat to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus said, I honor my Father. Jesus said to his Father, I have brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do. And his obedience to his Father cost him everything. For he did not count his equality with his Father something to be clutched at, but became a servant, a man, became obedient. Obedient even unto death. And he did it all, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, for the glory of his Father. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land to which I bring you. Amen, and may God help us to do it today.